gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. It is written, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. It is written, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.
For God is just a prayer away.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgiven he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn. His hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled The Brazen Serpent. Whenever the Lord took notice of something, he gave that thing or person undying fame. Such is the case of his mention of the Old Testament account of the brazen serpent in John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that is a statement that at first glance seems strange. We normally would compare a serpent to the devil. But here the Lord compares himself to a serpent. So since he did it, he had good reason for doing it, aside from the fact that his mention of the serpent lifted up in the wilderness shows that he accepted the Old Testament as the inspired word of God. Now, one reason Jesus compared himself to the serpent was because of the curse. In the Garden of Eden, God told the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, cursed art thou above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Jesus, in like manner, was made a curse for us. Paul tells us in Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Then, too, the uplifted serpent and the uplifted Christ were without poison. The serpent on the pole looked like the serpents that bit the people, but it had no poison. Concerning Jesus, Hebrews 4 states it for us, He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. In John 8:46, Jesus issued this challenge, Which of you convicteth me of sin? There were no takers. Remember, Judas said himself, I have betrayed innocent blood. Satan said, We know thee who thou art, thou Holy One of God. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And now consider their rejection of the Word of God. The fourth verse of Numbers 21 tells us that the people of Israel became discouraged and spake against God and against Moses. They said, Our soul loatheth this light bread. God had given them a heavenly handout. They received free food from heaven every day. It didn't cost a penny. All they had to do was go out, pick it up, and eat it. They did not need money to buy it, or even food stamps. And they murmured about it. In another place, they talked about how wonderful it was while they were slaves in the land of Egypt, to eat onions, leeks, melons, and garlic. They had forgotten that Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster. All they could remember of their days of slavery was the onions, leeks, and garlic. Pharaoh surely did feed well. In a similar way, is it not true that we have the bread of life, namely the Word of God, the Bible? Most of the members of the Church of Christ have never even read the New Testament one time all the way through. Years ago, I made a survey for a whole year in revival meetings by asking on a given night, large crowd or small crowd, how many present have ever read the New Testament through even one time? On the average, I found no more than 3 to 6 people, regardless of the size of the crowd, who lifted up a hand. By their action, it seemed that most of our people loathe that light bread. Many would rather feed their souls on the onions, garlic of the tabloid papers, and the soap operas than to feed on the bread of life. The modern-day onions and garlic is far more tasty than the bread of life. Our souls loathe that light bread. The church today is lacking in the kind of people mentioned in the city of Berea who searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. The reason for the neglect of the Word of God is because they loathe that light bread. In Acts 4:31, there is a peculiar verse according to the standards of today. It actually says, They preach the Word of God with boldness. Boldness is something that is taboo today. We must please everybody. Boldness will drive away the crowd. Someone wiser than I has observed that church leaders today are more concerned with entertaining the goats than feeding the sheep. They loathe that light bread. In Acts 20, Paul told the elders of Ephesus that he commended unto them the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified. But in spite of that wonderful warning and promise, many church leaders today loathe that light bread. Then there's the wonderful compliment Paul gave the church at 1 Thessalonica when he said in the 2nd chapter, And for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when ye received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, ye accepted it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. Even though the Bible is still the actual word of God, it is still true that many loathe that light bread. And now consider the lesson of history. It has been said many times that they who ignore the lessons of history are bound to repeat them. The sixth verse tells us that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and the serpents bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Actually, the fiery serpents were there in the wilderness all the time, but the Lord had guarded in his providence the people, even as they were provided manna to eat and water from the rock. Moses, in his farewell address, mentioned those serpents in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when he said, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought?" It seems when they continued their complaining, the Lord withdrew his protection, and the serpents arrived. Is there not some message here for America today? We have been blessed by God for over 200 years, and now that God's moral laws and the name of Christ have been trashed, could it be that God's protecting hand has been removed and the terrorists have appeared? Former President Reagan said, "If America ever gets rid of this nation under God, it will be a nation under." We need to remember the warning of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. "Neither let us make trial of the Lord as some of them, and perished by the serpents. Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages are come." And now let us consider the sting of the serpent. There is a sting to sin. It was a fiery serpent that bit the people. The bite of the serpent had a sting. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent appeared as a benefactor who did Eve a big favor. Then came the sting. In 1 Corinthians 15:56, Paul said, "The sting of death is sin." As in the case of Adam and Eve, the unforgiven sinner is dead. Just as dead as a person who is mortally wounded. His damnation is only a question of time. Look at Revelation 12 at the similarity of the fiery serpents with the serpent John saw when he spoke of a great red dragon, the old serpent who is called the devil and Satan. Compare the term fiery serpent with what Paul said in Ephesians 6, when speaking of the gospel armor, he said, "Lift up the shield of faith, whereby ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one." Now there are several comparisons in the uplifted serpent and the uplifted Christ. For one thing, the sting in the bite of the fiery serpents that brought death to many was removed when in obedience they looked at the serpent on the pole. With us, the sting of death is sin, and that sting is taken away when we look upon the Christ on the cross. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23, has a good statement on the bite of the serpent. "Look not on the wine when it is red. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder." Actually, all sin has a sting. Drugs have stung many communities with violence and murder. Paul's words in Romans chapter 1 are graphic to all who are not spiritually blind when he said, "God gave them up to vile passions, for their women changed the natural use to that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due." What a sting AIDS has been! The innocent as well as the guilty have suffered. And that reminds us of the great declaration of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, ladies and gentlemen, look upon their confession of sin. When the serpents came, the people realized they had failed again and came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have been murmuring against God and against you. Pray unto the Lord that the serpents be taken away. If any be bitten, there may have been some who were bitten and did not know it." That's the problem with many today. Bitten by the old serpent, the devil, and they don't know it. Many have no sense of sin in their life now. Before any person can be saved, he first of all has to realize that he is a lost and damned to hell sinner. Several times we have received letters from people through the years who say they were driving down the highway listening to this broadcast and took the wrong road and drove several miles before they realized they were lost. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we're trying to do on this broadcast. We hope every person who hears this message realizes that without Jesus Christ, you are lost. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul reminds and speaks of those who are separate from Christ as strangers of the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. And now the time has come to consider the cure that was given for the bite of the serpent. The cure for a snake bite was most unusual. No one would ever have thought of the answer to the problem. If they had been like us today, most would have said, "We must have a big drive to collect enough money for research. Science can probably find an answer to this problem." Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians about that when he says in the first chapter, the 21st verse, "The world, through its wisdom, knew not God." The world, through its wisdom, may find a way to go to Mars or to the moon, but the world in its wisdom can never find a way to go to heaven. In fact, any plan that man can devise, according to Paul, is foolishness with God. But God says, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to the saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." All of us need to know we are not saved on our own terms. However, there is a problem for us concerning the cure for the bite of the serpent. As we compare the serpent on the pole with Jesus on the cross, those who were bitten by the fiery serpents believed and looked upon the actual serpent on the pole and were healed. Today, we cannot look upon the actual cross that Jesus died on. However, God has provided a way for us to come to the cross. Listen to these words of Paul in Romans 6:3-6. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that henceforth we should not serve sin." When we go down into the water of baptism, we don't go down under the water alone. We are buried with him. And in that brief moment, we stand at the foot of the cross and are covered with the blood of Christ that was shed when he was lifted up. Now listen to those words again in John 3:14. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. His death is referred to again as a lifting up in John 8:28. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Again, the term lifted up is used for his death in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. How then does his lifting draw unto him? Acts 2:14 says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them. The theme of his message was the telling how Jesus was lifted up on the cross, buried, lifted up from the dead, and then lifted up to sit at the right hand of God. That declaration caused about 3,000 of them to ask what they had to do. And they were told, To repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus can still be lifted up today by the preaching of the gospel that tells us how he was lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, in conclusion, what happened after the cure from the bite of the serpent? Before Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, the people spoke against Moses and against God, according to Numbers 21:4. And they said, The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. When they looked upon the brazen serpent, they were saved from the bite of the serpent. But they found the way through the wilderness on the way to the promised land was still a hard way. They were not far from crossing over the Jordan, but they had to continue to be faithful. In a similar way, the salvation from the bite of the old serpent and Satan results in our salvation. But the journey through the wilderness of this life is still a hard way to go on the way to the promised land. The Christian is not exempt from the same temptations and trials that he had before he looked upon the cross. Paul warned the Christians at the end of his first missionary tour in Acts 14:22 that with much tribulation they would enter into the kingdom of God. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:12, Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember, too, the words of Jesus of the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Again, the Lord himself said in Matthew 24, He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And then there is that wonderful word of assurance from the last verse of Jude. Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. And so it is written, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.